ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody is requested to recite Durood Sharif. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Let us consider for a moment the great favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. He created us from nothing, and He made us in the most beautiful of forms. More significantly, He gave us the greatest of blessings, the blessing of Iman, and thereafter He made us from the Ummah of the greatest Prophet, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet despite these beautiful blessed gifts, our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still persists. Allah is not only the true giver and most beneficent, He is also the all-powerful. Unfortunately, we are not awoken by this realization. If our body was designed in such a way that everybody could see our insides, see the stool and the urine, and smell the stench that was stored inside, then would we be so arrogant and proud all the time? Anytime the thought of being proud crossed our mind and we smelled our reality, we would immediately be humbled by the fact that how can such a smelly individual even think of being proud and ignorant and arrogant? If we constantly remember that we have been created from an impure drop of semen, so impure that when it exits the body, you have to have ghusl to clean yourself, that's our reality, would we still be so proud and arrogant? Does the thought not cross our mind when casting lustful gazes that perhaps Allah can take our ability to see away? When we backbite, do we not fear the possibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make us dumb and stop our tongues? When we listen to music, do we forget the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us deaf? We do not even consider while our feet are walking towards adultery, fornication, zina, that the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can come, the earth can split open and swallow us inside? Or do we just go about with evil thoughts in our mind and we think that Allah cannot cause stones to rain down from the skies upon our heads like He did to the people before us? Allah only sent punishment to those people because of their disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, Allah did not wrong them, rather they wronged themselves. And we seized every single one of them for their sins. Allah was not unjust to them, but they did injustice to themselves. It is only through the mercy of Allah and the dua of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah's punishment has not befallen us yet. We need to repent at this very moment. We need to make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, Ya Allah, I want to rectify my relationship with You. We have no guarantee that how long we will live. Will we take another breath? We must repent now, sincerely, from the heart. After this Jum'ah prayer, perform 2 rakats nafil and lift your hands in supplication and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sincerely repent to Allah and give Him the positive answer to the Quranic question, has the time not come yet for the believers that their hearts submit before the remembrance of Allah? Our answer to this question should be the same that Shaykh Fudail ibn Iyadh rahimahullah gave, قَدْ آنَ وَقَدْ حَانَ, The time has definitely come, and it is definitely now. Do not look here and there at the lives of others, but look at our own life. After assessing our own life, we must identify the negative points that we have in our own individual life, and then we must turn to Allah, shedding tears in seclusion, and we must make every attempt, every effort to start pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we assess our lives individually, and we assess our situation as a community, in my humble opinion, we are failing. In our private lives, behind closed doors, we are following our nafs and following into the traps of shaitan constantly. But in public, we display ourselves to be extremely pious. There is no consistency, and there's no steadfastness. There's no istiqamah. It seems like the only thing Islamic about us is our name. Our actions, our words, our iman are very weak. We verbally express concern about the state of the ummah, but that's as far as it goes. When Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, he became the Khalifa, his first ever khutbah and addressing to the people, he stood on the pulpit and he said to the community, "You are in need of a rajulun fa'al la qawwal. You are in need of a man of action and not just one that talks all the time." The Muslims of the past, when one Muslim woman was imprisoned and she would call out to the Muslim leader of the time, the guards who had imprisoned her, they started mocking her, saying, "You're so far away from the Muslim leader, do you think that he can hear you? And even if he did, do you think he would come to save you? Do you think he'll come on his black and white horse to come and save you?" The news reached this Muslim leader. My beloved brothers, listen to this carefully. Of what the izzah of one Muslim woman. He heard this. He sent an entire army for the sake, for the izzah of one Muslim woman. And he told the entire army to go on black and white horses. People burning alive, bombed day and night, starved. But no, it's not my problem. Because my problem is my own country. My own national country is of a concern to me. We have civil wars. We have tyrants leading us. I'm too worried about my own country to worry about the country of others. Our hearts are disconnected. Instead of saying that every single Muslim and human suffering is my concern, we will always be disunited. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us that we are like one body. And we have to feel the pain of others. But we pick and choose whose pain is meaningful to us and whose pain is important to us. Until we don't feel the pain of other people, that we don't understand that their pain is our pain, their pain is my pain, we won't make a difference, not even as a community. Muhammad al-Fatih, heard his name before? The conqueror of Constantinople. He would go out, even though he was a king, he would go out dressed as a normal person, even though he was king, to see the true state of his community, to see the true state of his people. And he would go out, and one time he went out, and he went to the marketplace. He goes to one shopkeeper and he tries to buy something, but the shopkeeper says to him, "I have earned enough for today." And then he points to his fellow shopkeeper next to him. And he says, "I haven't seen anybody come to his shop today. You should go and buy from him." And then he closes his shop. And then he goes to that shopkeeper. And that shopkeeper says, "Alhamdulillah, I've earned enough for today. I have earned enough for today. I have not seen a lot of customers coming to my fellow Muslim brother. Go and purchase from him." And then he closes his shop. It is this time, when this kept happening, that Muhammad al-Fatih, he says that now I have the army that is ready enough to go and conquer Constantinople. Why? Because they all had concern for one another. They were all looking out for one another. They all had concern for one another. Their Muslim brothers were actually their Muslim brothers, and they cared for them. And as a community, they were ready. Why are we failing as a community? Even though we're so big in number, in Jumu'ah, 1,000 people come here. Why are we failing as a community? If I was to ask you, in 10 years, what would you have liked this community in Glasgow, Scotstoun, to have achieved? If you don't have a good answer, then what are we really pushing towards? Do we have a vision? Are we working towards something? A leader can only lead a community when he knows where he's going. Do not confuse movement with progress. Because you can run in the same place. You're moving, but you're not making any progress. You're still stuck in the same place. The main aspects of deen, my beloved brothers, the three main T's, tabligh, ta'aleem, tazkiyah, in my humble opinion, we are failing in all three aspects. You know, ta'aleem, providing the necessary Islamic knowledge to everybody in this community. We're happy with our current small system, but we're not even scratching the surface. We are not doing enough. And our solutions that we put in place, they're temporary. They're not permanent. They're not long-lasting. We are not visionaries. We are not pioneers for the future. It's like we're putting plasters over our small cut. One day it's just going to come off, and the problem will still persist beneath. We are reactive people. When a problem happens, we react to it. We're not proactive, visualizing that down the line, a future problem can happen, and then preparing for it. We lack basic akhlaq and adab. Very, very basic akhlaq and adab. Then what use is our ta'aleem? Ilmi nafi' is the one that you want to acquire. That takes you, that makes you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't, you know how much we lack basic akhlaq and adab? We can't even park our cars properly in the car park. We park in front of other people's driveways. We litter in people's driveways. We leave our smelly socks lying around the masjid like it's our bedroom. We take a Quran from the shelf, we can't even put it back in its own place. Basic akhlaq. We can't even fix these basic things. How are we going to fix bigger problems? We talk inside the masjid before salah and after salah. Before salah, we should have been focusing our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very shortly, I am about to enter into salah. I am about to stand before my Lord. I am about to stand before Rabbul Alameen. Some sahaba, ikram, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, before the farad prayer, they would fall unconscious. Why? Because they were so prepared that they were about to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our state, we're talking about everything under the sky. We're not prepared for our prayer. No wonder our prayer doesn't stop us from sin. No wonder it doesn't. It's got no ruh, it's got no soul. We're just doing it for the sake of it. After salah, instead of contemplating whether our salah was accepted, whether it was thrown in our face like a dirty rag, Allah doesn't need that from us. Rather than contemplating that and having a one-to-one time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to express our needs of Him, we immediately talk straight after the salah. Listen to it. As soon as salam goes, you'll hear chitter-chatter. Because nobody is concerned that they want to ask from Allah. You're not concerned. Do you have everything you need? Are you a perfect human being? Do you have the utmost taqwa? You all have needs. I have needs. You have needs. That is the time we must express our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what do? Some of us, as an act of defiance, immediately after salam goes, we want to stand straight up and we want to leave. You know why? Because we don't agree with the fact that you should make dua after the salah. As an act of defiance, you're ruining your time. At least if you don't want to make congregational dua, make dua yourself, individually. Have that one-to-one time. Sit there. Your dua is accepted as long as you sit there. You're connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You just performed your farad prayer. Ask from Him. He is ready to give. This is our state. We lack basic akhlaq and adab, basic knowledge, basic things that can take us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we think that we are doing the right thing. That's the problem. We are never in the wrong. Everybody else is. When it comes to the other tabligh, the other tea, tabligh, spreading the deen to others, we avoid it like the plague. We feel like the people connected to tabligh, they're aliens. Let me be clear. Every single one of us is connected to tabligh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his last sermon, he says, "Ballighu anni walau ayah." Spread my message to others, even if it is an ayah. Spread whatever is within your capacity. The name tablighi jamaat, in this masjid especially, is seen as a negative word. Anytime somebody says tablighi jamaat, they have a face of disgust on them. Like, these people, what are they doing here? To bring the ones already connected to their deen, more closer to their deen, or bringing the ones that are foreign to the deen of Islam, to make them recognize what Islam is, this is their job. At least if we cannot assist them in their work, then do not become an obstacle. Let them propagate the da'wah. Let them propagate the deen. The akabirin, our pious elders, they laid out practical usools. And this is what the tablighi jamaat follow. For the public to follow, to make it practical for everybody. They are simple guidelines for people. That's what they're following. And we must respect it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he delivered the final message, he was the deliverer. And it was the team of 124,000 sahaba, ikram, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, who continued to deliver this message around the world. It's a collective effort. And not that of just a few individuals. That if you're connected to tablighi jamaat, you're the only one that can go and propagate the faith. No. It's my responsibility and it's your responsibility. It's the collective effort of this Muslim ummah. We must all be working to establish tabligh, propagating the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has delivered to us through His beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most importantly, my beloved brothers, is the work of tazkiyah. Ya Allah. The amount of negativity that surrounds this word, tazkiyah, is so neglected. People are not concerned with purifying their souls. They feel that purifying their heart is not a part of the deen. Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. It is surely a part of the deen, and a person can only be on the path of success if he purifies his soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the glorious Quran, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى وَذَكَرَ اسْمَ رَبِّهِ فَصَلَّى بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Verily the successful one is the one who purifies his soul, and he takes the dhikr of his Rabb's name, and he prays. But rather, these people, they prefer the life of this world. وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. But the life in the hereafter is better and it is everlasting. When our physical body becomes ill, it becomes weak, and we tell the symptoms to a doctor, we place our trust in him to give us some form of medication, and if we follow his prescription, dosage, and amount of times per day, we can eventually start feeling better. But when our soul becomes filthy, when our soul becomes weak and ill, we need to tell the symptoms to a spiritual doctor. And this is a true sheikh. And not the sheikh that's used in this masjid. You know, everybody is a sheikh here. But this is more of a language issue. It's because we have a lot of Arabs here. So everybody is called sheikh, and this is not a problem. Sheikh is a title of respect you give to somebody elder. It's completely fine. But do not confuse it with the sheikh that is associated with the deen. That sheikh, Sheikhul Islam, Sheikhul Arab wal Ajam, Sheikhul Quran, Sheikhul Tafsir, Sheikhul Hadith, Sheikhul Sharia, Sheikhul Tariqah. These are different stages that you acquire in the deen. Do not confuse the two. The spiritual doctor, he's the Sheikhul Tariqah. The physician who can help you to tread the path of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gaining the qurb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to this physical, spiritual doctor, this physician. We must place our trust in him to give us some form of medication. And if we follow his prescription of dhikr as i'laj, as a cure, the dosage and the amount of times per day, we can feel better spiritually. Our hearts, they're filled with arrogance and conceit. Kibr and ghurur is filled with ostentation, riya. Is filled with jealousy and envy, hate and deceit, hasad, hiqd and ghish. We are filled with suspicion, su'ud-dhan. We are filled with anger, ghadab. We are filled with stinginess, bukhl. We are filled with love of jah, the love to have name and fame and power. Everybody should know my name, that I have this position. We are filled with the love of ba, the love of ba, beauty. We're chasing after it consistently. We have the love of mal within our hearts. We're always chasing materialistic things. Our hearts are filthy, but none of us are concerned with tazkiyah. Purifying ourselves from these problems, from these issues. Most of us here will be suffering from some, if not all, of these spiritual diseases. But we neglect seeking cure for them. The spiritual sheikh, he prescribes us with various forms of cure to help us escape from these spiritual ailments and diseases. You know, a person, he might try to self-diagnose and self-cure himself, but he will only get so far. And he may even fall into the trap of shaitan without the guidance of a spiritual mentor. You know, there's a book called Talbisa Iblis, The Traps of Shaitan. Try and read it. You'll learn how he misguides everybody. You know, one sheikh, he told a person who could not stop casting lustful gazes at women to put his head inside a wheelie bin that was filled half and it was stinking. He says, do that for 5 minutes a day. You think, me and you will think, yeah, what is he doing? Is this from Quran, Sunnah, Hadith? Is this some i'lad? What is he doing? Eventually what happened, every time when this young man, he would try and cast a last lustful gaze, he would remember the stench in his nose. And he would say, this is reality of this woman. She will take me far from my Rabb. The angels, they don't come near us when we're filthy with sin because they don't like bad smells. So the rahmah of Allah doesn't come. And his sheikh told him, you will fall in love with this beauty now. Give it 80 years, her teeth will become crooked. Her hair will not be silky smooth. It will go all frail and brittle. Her skin will have so many wrinkles on it that an iron won't even straighten it out. Botox won't even work. Her teeth will come and protrude out of her mouth. This is what will happen with old age, and you're falling in love with that. Give your heart to the one who created you, that Allah's beauty is everlasting. Give your love to him. So then he started smelling this stench every time he would cast a lustful gaze and it would turn his head away. Was the objective not achieved? Then this is sometimes you have to use these methods. Another time, one person, he couldn't take his nazar away from casting lustful gazes. So the sheikh tells him, the physician, the spiritual doctor, he says to him, stare at a picture of the Kaaba 20 minutes a day. Just stare at it, no disturbances, alone, stare at it. You might think, why is he doing that for? Eventually what would happen, when he would turn his nazar towards casting a lustful gaze, the image of the Kaaba would come in front of him. Then he would remember, Ya Allah, Allah's watching me, I'm not going to look. He would turn his nazar away. We are in need of spiritual doctors, but we are lacking looking for them. We think we can cure ourselves. If that was the case, and our Quran and our Salah could save us from it, how many of us here are praying Salah, yet still we are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what's supposed to happen? Your salah is supposed to help you stay away from sin. Why is it not happening? Because our hearts are filthy with sin. Our hearts are filthy with guna, ma'siyat. When you clear your heart and you purify your heart, then one salah is enough to protect you. Reciting one verse of the Quran is enough to protect you. Why is it not influencing us? Why is it not having an effect on us? Because our hearts are filled with the evil of sin. And until we don't purify it, until we don't go on the path of trying to purify it, then we will never benefit from our good deeds properly, in the way that is supposed to. You know, if a person says, I can cure these spiritual diseases myself without any guidance from a spiritual doctor, then this person is the person most in need of a sheikh. Sometimes the cure is Quranic and prophetic solutions, and sometimes another practical cure is given, but the objective of tazkiyah is achieved, and the soul can begin his journey of gaining qurb to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my beloved brothers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to unite as an ummah. You know, if one of us is a weak link in the chain, then the whole chain fails. You have a chain, it's filled with links, yes? If one link becomes rusty and somebody begins to pull on that chain, the whole chain can break. We are all links, part of this chain. If we are all strong and made of steel, we're all united, strong, no matter what happens to this community, come fitna, come turmoil, come whatever problem, we will never collapse as a community. We must stay strong. This is how you unite. And if we are all filled with these filthy, evil actions, then we will make this community fail. It's not the whole community. It's us as individuals that fail this community by being the weak link. You know, in one battle, after many, many battles, one Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu anh, he seen that the Muslims had a huge number. And he looked at the Kufar army and he says, look how small they are. We're going to easily defeat them today. But he didn't remember the fact that the previous battles in Islam, Muslims were always outnumbered. They were always less. The Kufar were more. But always through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their hearts were all connected. Their hearts were all connected. Their focus was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not disobedient to Allah and His Messenger. That's why Allah granted them victory. So when this Sahaba, he says, oh look, we've got such a huge number today, we will beat them because look how small they are. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu immediately rebuked him. He says, do not say these type of things. Do you not remember that when we were small in number and Allah granted us victory? He made his tawajjuh, his thinking, his mentality, he shifted it into the right direction. Me and you, we need to focus our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My beloved brothers, the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always open. Until ma lam yugharghir, until you don't start suffering the pangs of death, you can always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why immediately, here and now, we make istighfar. We do tawbah. We do ruju' ila Allah. Ya Allah, please forgive us. Ya Allah, please forgive us our sins. The ones that we have done openly in private. The one that we have done in secret and in public. Ya Allah, please forgive all of our sins. Ya Allah, please allow us to unite as a community. Ya Allah, please purify us from those things that we are suffering from. Ya Allah, give us the ability to progress the ta'leem in this organization. Ya Allah, allow us the ability to progress the tabligh in this institution. Ya Allah, allow us to all, as individuals, go on the path of tazkiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first of all, grant me the ability here to act upon what has been said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant everybody else here the ability to act upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Going to make a polite request to people. It is the October holidays, so we have a lot of youngsters, mashallah. Please, before the adhan, just stand up, please, and move forward. If you are sitting a little bit far away from somebody, please move a little bit closer to them. We have a lot of people standing outside. You know, when me and you are comfortable sitting in the rows at the front, some people are praying on the staircase. Some people are praying where the shoes go. Some people are praying in the passages. And eventually, they have to start praying outside. And eventually, today is not a day that you want to pray outside. It's all wet. We don't have enough musallas for everybody. So, jazakallah, please try and fit as many brothers as we can inside the masjid. Jazakumullah khair.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
سبحان الله اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة والقيامة والحمد لله رب العالمين. Let's go.